Are you a good listener? I think listening's a really good skill, and I think if you know someone who's a great listener, you know what I mean. They're the sort of person who hears everything. They hear everything you've got to say, and even when you say more, they've got more questions to then ask about what you've said. They continue to draw things out of you and make you speak about things that sometimes you actually didn't really want to speak about. Now, I know a few people like this who are really good listeners, and when they listen to me, it feels like they love me. I remember a friend of ours once saying that listening is so close to loving that it's actually really hard to tell the difference. When someone lets us talk and listens to us and engages with us and our world, it's wonderful to experience. Now, as followers of Jesus, we should all be good listeners. And the reason we should be good listeners is because as God's people, we know that salvation is from God. As people who trust in God and as people who live God's way, to do that well, we need to be people who listen to God. So all of us, in some way, should be aiming to be good listeners. Now, we're looking at 2 Timothy today, and this book is written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Paul loves Timothy. In chapter 1, verse 2, he calls him his beloved child. In Romans 16:21, Paul calls Timothy his co-worker. Now, the books of 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon all mention Timothy in the introduction. Letters from Paul and Timothy. Paul and Timothy worked closely together. So as we look at this letter, this isn't some random letter to a strange person. No, this is a letter to someone who is known by Paul and who knows Paul. We see in chapter 1, verse 3, that Paul is constantly in prayer for Timothy. We're told about Timothy's sincere faith in verse 5 of chapter 1, and we hear about the legacy of his family, a faith passed on by his grandmother Lois and by his mother Eunice. And Paul is writing to Timothy, knowing his whole family, to encourage Timothy, to tell him to keep the faith, to keep trusting God, and to know that he has the spirit of power and love and self-control and not the spirit of fear. This whole letter is written to encourage Timothy, to encourage him to live up to a faith that he has already received. Now, in many ways, we could have actually used this letter to do this whole series. He's reminding Timothy of the basics of the Christian faith, of who he is in Christ. Now, if we had lots of time, I'd take you to Acts 17, 18 and 19, and we could look at some of the work that Paul and Timothy did together. It's believed that during Paul's fourth missionary journey, which we don't have recorded, that he wrote this letter to Timothy, urging him to stand firm in the faith and to come and visit him one last time. And this is the context of this small section that we're looking at in 2 Timothy 3. It's helpful to know that Timothy has this deep relationship with Paul, and that what Paul is sharing is because of his love for a fellow worker in the gospel. They have a long history together. Now, in this section we're looking at, there's two things that Paul tells Timothy. And both these things begin with the words, "but as for you." But as for you. You can see the first in verse 10. Sometimes it's written as "you, however." And then the second one is in verse 14. And it's usually translated as "but as for you." Now, we'll see these two things. First, that Timothy saw how Paul lived, but as for you, you know my teaching, you saw how I lived. And then the second, but as for you, Paul says to Timothy, continuing what you've learnt, and they're the two things that we'll see today. So the first point we'll look at is that Paul reminds Timothy of what he already knows. We can see it in verse 10 where Paul gives an outline of what Timothy knows. Look at verses 10 and 11. He says to Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. A big list of things that Timothy knows because they have a long history of being together. Timothy knows about Paul's teaching, his faith, his patience, his love, his endurance, his persecutions, how he suffered, and all that happened in those places. Now, this section starts with a but as for me, or but as for you. And this is because there's contrast all over Timothy, and we see a contrast here. And if you look back to 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, it gives us a contrast to what Paul is telling Timothy. It says there in verses 1 to 5, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Now Paul goes on in verses 6 to 9 saying that although there will be terrible times and society will be depraved, Timothy should be different. These other people have rejected the faith, that's on offer from the Lord Jesus. But Timothy is different. And that's why he says to Timothy, "But as for you," he says this because Timothy is different. Timothy hasn't rejected the Lord Jesus. Timothy hasn't ignored Jesus, but he's accepted him as his Lord and looks to Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. Paul reminds Timothy that he's different. He's not like those ungodly people we read about in verses 1 to 5. And because of this, Paul wants to remind him to stay strong. To remember that things aren't going to be easy, but stay strong. Paul says to Timothy, "You will be persecuted. You will suffer. But look at my life," says Paul. "The Lord rescued Paul from all his sufferings. Paul was able to go on. Paul was sustained." And the message for Timothy is, "We'll keep going." And this is exactly what Paul says to him in verse 12, doesn't he? He says, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Everyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. Can you see what it says there? It doesn't say anyone who wants to live a godly life will be blessed. It doesn't say that anyone who lives a godly life will have no problems at all. It doesn't say that even if you live a godly life, that people will love you. It says that if you want to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Now, persecution will look different for different people at different times. Under Nero, that's very early on, the persecution was violent and imaginative. I don't want to go into details from here, but they did all sorts of horrible things to Christians because they were following Jesus. Under Severus in the 3rd century, progress of Christianity alarmed many people who were not Christian, and as a result, the Christians had to be stopped. Irenaeus was a bishop of Lyon and was a zealous believer and was passionate to get rid of various heresies. He wanted people to listen to God's word and not be hindered by different heresies. And his passion for Jesus and the truth was so great that he became the object of anger and was beheaded by the emperor. Now, persecution has continued throughout history. In 1380, John Huss, I don't know if you've heard of him, I always like his story. His last name can mean goose. And I'll get to why that's funny in a moment. He was burnt at the stake for believing that Jesus paid for his sins on the cross. That's what we believe. It was when he was chained to the post and they loaded timber up all around him that he said, "Well, you can kill this goose or this huss, but a swan will come after me who will continue the work." And 100 years later, that swan was Martin Luther. And God used him to bring about the Reformation. And he wasn't free of persecution either. All these people were persecuted because they wanted to maintain the word of God and live a godly life. That's what we see when we look at verses 12, and what follows is verse 13. And what we see in verse 13 is that not everyone wants to live a godly life. Some people would rather live a contrary to what the Bible says. In fact, it will feel that there are evil people who live contrary to what the Bible says, and they will seemingly flourish. But that's not true. Look at verses 12 and 13. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, there's a distinct contrast between those who want to live a godly life and those who want to be an imposter, those who want to deceive others into living the life of deception. Now, the word there could be a swindler, an enchanter, a sorcerer. This is someone who is in opposition to Christ, this imposter. They don't live a life of honesty and sincerity. Rather, they live lives of deception and lies. And as we see in verse 13, they go from bad to worse. There seems to be an increase in their involvement with things that are ungodly. They deceive others only to then be deceived themselves. They're tricking people into doing things that are ungodly, but then those they deceive also deceive them as they continue in their deceptive work, as this downward spiral of deception. The point of these verses is that when you go down the road of ungodly living, it may seem as though things are good and right and true, but it's a lie. It's deception. As I look at things, sometimes people are caught up in these things because they think that it's more appealing to deceive others. But what this tells us is that time will tell. Things will get from bad to worse. There are choices we make as people who want to live godly lives, and that will impact many parts of our lives. Yeah, maybe you have a business, maybe you know what businesses do, and as a follower of Jesus, well then there's things that we don't do. We don't cheat or steal. We will pay people the right amount. We'll be honest with our employees and our customers. Things will look different to other businesses. Those who are imposters are going to live contrary to how we would run our businesses. So the reality of looking at these verses is that Paul is reminding Timothy to know what he's already learnt. See, don't forget, but remember. Believe and know that living God's way with all its persecution is going to be the best way to live. And so the application is, know what you've learnt. That's the application for Timothy, because he knows what he's learnt, and he knows who Paul is, and he knows what his mother and his grandmother have taught him. But what about us? How does that relate to us? And for that, I think we need to go to the next section of the passage and find out what it tells us about how to listen to God. So we haven't looked at what it means to listen to God yet, but we've been given a reason why we should listen to God. Because each one of us who lives a godly life will be persecuted, and because of this, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for what's ahead. And as we listen to God, this will lead us into godly living. Godly living, as Paul has already described here. And so we go to our second point. Our second, but as for me, and we'll see that the key word here is continue. Look at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it. Now here we see the verb is continue. Continue in what you have learnt and have been convinced of. Not you have learnt everything, so relax and enjoy life. No, it says to continue in what you have learnt and continue in what you have been convinced of. It's not a suggestion. that Timothy can perhaps listen to? No, it's a command. Continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of. Now, Paul said something similar to the church in Philippi. He said to them, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Timothy has seen the life of Paul, his mother, his grandmother, and Paul reminds him again, continue in what you have learnt and have been convinced of. Don't stray from it, but continue in it. So what is it that he's learned and has been convinced of? Paul goes into some more detail in verse 15, and of course, it's the life of those around him, but Paul and his family, but it's also about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus for Timothy. So let's read verses 14 and 15 again. It says there, but as for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It's about Timothy remaining in the teaching of Jesus Christ. Don't stray from it. Don't ignore it. But stay in it. That's what it means to continue, to abide or to remain, to stay in it, to hang on to it. And what's he to stay in? Well, in verse 15, we're told not only to remain in the example of those around him, but also to remain in the Holy Scriptures. Now, the Holy Scriptures is another word for Bible. The Bible is what makes us wise for salvation. Well, how does it do that? Well, if you look at verses 16 and 17, we get our answer. It says all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there's a lot here. First, that Scripture is God-breathed. Now, this doesn't mean that God spoke to men and told them what to write, but it means that as man wrote, God gave them the words to write. I think we see this beautifully in the Bible. We see the consistency from Genesis to Revelation of a God-breathed message, a consistent God-breathed message. Yet we see it under the man-written word. And what I mean by that is that each book or each author and their style looks different to each other author and style. And we can see that as we look at the Bible. But the message is consistent. It's clearly God's consistent message to us through human authors. A completely unified Bible that speaks of salvation through Jesus. From beginning to end, it points to Jesus at all points. And what we're told is that this God-breathed scripture is useful for many things. We see a big list in verse 16. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's the word of God that changes everything for us. As we read and understand the Bible, we learn. As we hear and understand, we are rebuked because we want to live our way, but the Bible says, no, you need to live God's way. And as we read the Bible, we are trained in righteousness. We learn what it means to be God's people. When I left school, I remember going to work in a printing factory, and when I first walked into the printing factory, I did not know much about printing. I'd only ever walked around a few different factories previously, and I'd seen the machines at work, but I knew nothing about them. And as I walked around, I realised, man, there's a lot to learn here. There's a lot to learn. And to learn how to be a printer meant going to those around me who knew how to run the machines. It meant asking those who had experience, but it also meant going to TAFE and learn what it was to be a printer, how everything worked. I had to go to the source, to those who knew how to run the machines and to those who had the expertise. And as a follower of Jesus, you are a disciple of Jesus. In many ways, we're all apprentices of Jesus. We're a bit like Timothy in this passage. You are to continue in what you have learned and what you have been convinced of. Continue in the model that others have set for you. That's what it means to listen to God's word, to listen to the Bible. Now, I've put a third point in your outlines. It doesn't come from the Bible. This is my encouragement for you. But as for you, listen. Listen to God's word. That's my encouragement to you. Listen to the Bible. Listen to those who are familiar with the Bible and ask them what it means to follow Jesus. We've heard that this won't be easy. We've heard that if we want to be godly people, that there will be persecution. But then we're also told that all we need for life is to listen to God's word. And we never do this in isolation. That's why we sometimes say that we are disciples making disciples. People who read the word and encourage others with the word. Now, if you're new to Christianity, maybe you're a new disciple and you're just finding your feet and you want to grow deeper in this relationship, then I suggest you start hanging around those who are following Jesus. Hang around and hear the stories of what it means to follow Jesus. And then ask them, as followers of Jesus, to help you understand and listen to God's word. Don't just listen to their stories, but listen to God's word. Listen to the Bible. Get others to help you listen to what the Bible says to you and hear what God wants of you. Now, maybe lots of things are new to you in this church. Then I'd suggest start reading the Bible for yourself, if that's you. Especially start with Matthew, Mark, Luke or John. A gospel that tells you about Jesus. That's who we're following. See, what these verses here are telling us is that the Bible is God's message to us. A message from the God of all creation. The God who gave you life. The God who came to rescue you. And that same God has given you his very word to read and listen to. He's done this so that you can know him. He's done this so that you can live his ways. So if you're a new disciple, a new believer in Jesus, then start to listen to God. Start to listen to the Bible and know that as you listen, God's word will become clearer and clearer. Now, some of you have been Christians for a while. You know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. In fact, many of you have known Jesus for many years. And as for you, and for you, as you've learnt over the years as a disciple, you too have learnt that you need to continue what you've learnt and have been convinced of. And you know that as you read the Bible, and as you have been reading the Bible for years, you know and have heard many times that the Bible is God's word for you. It is what makes you wise for salvation. See, as a disciple of Jesus, you know all these things. And so I want to encourage you to continue listening to God. Now, it's a very basic command, but it's absolutely essential. As a disciple of Jesus, you must read the Bible. You can't be a disciple of Jesus and then ignore the word. But I want to push this a little more. Because as you look at the book of Timothy, I want to point out that although all these disciples of Jesus passed on knowledge that they heard, it's like they listened to the word, they learnt, and then they shared what they learnt with those around them. And as I think about our church and what we're doing, we need to think about how we're getting involved in the sharing of God's word. We listen and we share. Because it's as we share and speak about our relationship with Jesus to others that it's through that that others are going to hear the message of Jesus and that they too become wise for salvation. See, disciples share with other disciples so that other disciples will grow and hear the word of God. Maybe you can think about your oikos. Wonder how you're going with your little bookmark, praying for those people around you, those 8 to 15 people that you're praying for. if you're listening to God's word, then you have something to share with them. Yes, it's the Bible that makes us wise for salvation. That's what we listen to. But as we listen and learn and be the example, we too become the clay jar that Paul speaks of in Corinthians. We are the ordinary jar with a very extraordinary message. So how are you going to share what you've heard about Jesus? It's about that time of year when we're planning for next year, or at least I am. I'd love to see more of you in a Bible study. We currently have two groups. A third is talking about next year. But how are you going to help that happen? Are you willing to participate in a group? How are you going to listen to God's word and share it with others? A Bible study is a good space for us to not only care for one another, but also to hear from God's word, listen to what it says, and share it with each other. It would be a really helpful thing for you to do, to be in a group. How are you going to share what you've heard about Jesus? It's also the time of year we could start to think about scripture teaching for in school next year. Maybe you have a few spare hours to prepare a lesson and then give a lesson to the kids at school. I mean, they're asking to be taught from God's word. We have kids in schools who want to listen to God's word being taught to them. They want to hear from the Bible. And yet there's a lack of teachers. Maybe you can think about how you can share what you know about Jesus in that space. And in the process, you can help others listen to God's word. See, the goal of God's word is that it's heard by many people. People like us, some of us new, some of us not so new. So stop listening to God's word. Sorry. So don't stop listening to God's word. I'm just checking you're listening, that's all. Don't stop listening to God's word. Take it up regularly. And know that God speaks to you through his word, the Bible. And as you listen, may you be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Now, Father God, we thank you that we can listen to your word. Thank you that your word is so useful for us. Lord, help us to make time for your word in our lives. Keep us from being distracted and ignoring it. Keep us firmly planted in your word. Lord, give us hearts to hear what you have to say to us and give us the strength to do this each day. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.